And then when it matures, the wheat, when the head of the wheat gets heavy, it bows. And the weeds stand tall. And it's such a picture of the end of the age to me with believers. As we come closer and closer to the Lord's return, I believe we're going to find ourselves more and more humbling ourselves and recognizing, like Cindy talked about, that, man, we don't have it. You know, we don't have it. We are completely dependent on the Lord more than we realize. You know, and I just believe that this season, I don't know if you've noticed it, I've definitely noticed it in my life. More and more and more am I finding myself on my knees saying, God, help. Help. Come on, Lord. We need you. I can't do this. I don't have the answer. I don't know. It's not working. And I believe that's, I really believe that that has to happen before the harvest. And we have to bow our heads. And that wheat, if you've ever seen wheat growing, the stalk that has the wheat seeds, the wheat kernels, comes up tall, and then it, as it grows bigger and bigger and bigger, it gets heavier and heavier and heavier, so it bows lower and lower and lower and lower. So the more fruit on the stalk, the lower it bows its head. It's a beautiful thing. When we bought the farm, where we're at right now was a wheat field. Wow. This whole area from there to there was wheat. And over at the Hope House, that was the only house there, and that whole field where the goats are and the one that wraps around, all wheat. And I remember that first year, I would just come out and stand and watch the wind blow that wheat and think about the Lord's return and the harvest, the harvest. And I believe we're coming into that time. I think we're already there where the fields are ripe. They're ready to harvest. But as we're entering, we see it. We see the tares popping their heads up. In our nation, did you ever think you'd ever see evil being portrayed as good the way it is? I never thought I'd ever see that like that. Blatant, on the news. I mean, evil, people that are doing evil deeds calling it good. I just shake my head and I go, what? What? But it's happening. The tares are raising their head up. And believers, we better get low and fall in love, because that is the only hope we have. If we get, the closer he comes, the lower we better get, to, the closer it gets to his return. Because the king, he's coming as a king. And you don't raise your head up higher than a king or you lose your head. That's protocol. So that is... That's we're like right, we're walking right into that scenario where Yeshua talked about it. And I'm here to tell you, we're going to see signs and wonders and miracles like we've never seen. We're coming in to the time where the greater darkness is. I mean, the darkness is growing darker, and we are supposed to be shining brighter. And as we come into that darkness, the light, Christ in us, is going to shine brighter than it ever has. And the people who are deceived, some of them are going to see the light in us. And they're going to bow. And some aren't. Some are going to come up against us and resist Christ in us. And that's okay. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it was for Christ. Who do we think we are? We don't think that's not our portion. After all, he said, come, follow me.
That's right.
And if you come follow him, he's going to lead you right space encounter with a cross, the blood, the body of Christ that was crucified so that other people might live. We get the privilege of laying our lives down so that somebody else might get to live forever, not just here. This is a moment. This isn't where it's at. This is our boot camp. We get to be trained to reign forever with our 70, 80, 90, 100 years. Right? We get to be just want to, I just so feel, I feel so strongly the Lord compelling us to recognize the hour that we're living in and the privilege. Do you know what it would have been like for the apostles to get to see this day, to live in this hour? All of them except Judas. They would have loved to live here at this time. So let's be really careful and don't go, oh, I wish I was born 50 years ago, or I wish I was, or no. This is the greatest hour in the history of the earth. And we're going to see a revival of souls like we've never even dreamed of. I mean, God's going to move, and I'm here to tell you, He's going to move in the baby boomers, because we've been asleep and we've been sitting back doing nothing for all these years and letting evil reign in this country. So he's longing to wake us up. And then I see the other movement on both ends, the young people coming up, an army. And I was thinking of Julian and Sarah, and they have a reputation here of being snake slayers. I mean, they love it. It's no big deal. They just cut the head off and pick the thing up and go, look at what God did. That's such a picture of this generation that God's going to pour His Spirit out on, and they're going to cut off the head of the enemy, and they're going to go, He's nothing. He's nothing. He's powerless. He's headless because of God in us. And that's what we've got ahead of us. I'm so excited. Amari, what is he? 4 or 5 years old? 5 years old now? Four?
Five.
Almost. Yeah. Look at this little guy prophesying, having dreams, and going and sharing those dreams, and they're God dreams. That's what we're looking at. We don't need to be afraid.
That's right.
No, we don't.
We don't need to be worried.
No, we don't.
Amen.
God hasn't made a mistake.
Right.
He's not taking a nap. He's not up there going, well, what's Trump going to do about this? He's not. He's got it all worked out. Thank God that God breathed on Trump and moved his heart. The Bible says that God holds the hearts of kings in his hand, and he turns their heart whichever way he wants them to go. He's got Trump's heart in his hand, and he's turning that man, and he's partnering with him. This is what's terrible, what he told me. He said, I'm partnering with Trump to do what the church should be doing. And I was just like, oh!
That's right.
Trump's doing what we should have done and what we should be doing. He's coming up against evil. He's coming up against trafficking. He's coming up against homosexuality, abortion. He's coming out. I don't know if you guys heard it this last week. Clear saying, if I get reelected, I'm taking care of the abortion issue. It's done. I mean, he's standing up for the... And then you've got Biden and his friend who's out there saying, if we get elected, abortion, even up to the day of birth.
Even after.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about. The tares are raising their head. They're not trying to hide anymore. I mean, we got to be on our knees. We got to be praying. The satanic religion worshiping Satan just came out a couple of weeks ago. I read their petition to the court. They're petitioning the court for the right to practice their religion, which is to perform abortions on women as their satanic rituals in worship to Satan and sacrifice that baby. Come on, they're asking for the right to do that.
Wow.
Not even hidden anymore.
Yeah.
We gotta pray.
Yeah. Right.
We gotta fast. Mm-hmm. We gotta get serious and wake up and recognize the war that we're in. And you can sit here and go, oh, you know, we live out here on the farm and we're so protected and we're so safe and we're... This is a war against good and evil, against God, Yahweh, and little God with a little G. And if the little gods, win, the first people they're coming after are Christians.
Right.
In Holden.
Yeah.
And everywhere. Yeah. You can't hide. And Jews.
Yep.
So we better pray.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had somebody say to me recently, why do we bother praying? It's in the Bible. It's coming. Right? It's true. It's in the Bible. We know the Antichrist is going to rule and reign, and we know that he's going to have his time where Christians will be persecuted and Jews will be persecuted, and we know that's coming. So this person says, so why pray? It's God's will. Here's Satan's deal. Satan knows, he's read the book too.
Yeah, he knows it well.
He knows it really well. If he can cause it to happen sooner than it's supposed to, I think he thinks he might have an edge. He wants more than anything to overpower God, to show himself stronger than God. And for about 3.5 years, it's going to look like he is. And then, well, first 3.5 is going to look like he's a pretty good guy. And then the last 3.5, look out, all hell breaks loose. And it's going to look like he's more powerful than God. Until the sky splits.
Yeah.
And the clouds part. And a trumpet blast. And Yeshua comes riding on a white horse with an army of saints with him. And has a face-to-face, toe-to-toe encounter with Satan himself. And the Antichrist and the false prophet. And then you'll see who wins the war. So, I just believe that prayer changes things.
Yes.
I believe that prayer strengthens us.
Yeah.
And I believe that miracles happen through prayers. I believe people get saved because somebody prayed. I believe that prodigals come home because somebody prayed. I believe that we are going to see blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I believe we're going to see the dead raised. I'm not kidding. I believe we're going to see dead people raised. I had a dream. Oh, goodness. I don't remember how long ago. Probably 5 years ago, I'm guessing. And I forgot all about it until I was in this room tonight. And all of a sudden, that dream flashed back in my mind. In my dream, I was in this thing. I was in here.
Right.
And we didn't even have this plan back 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whatever it was. I was in here. And as I sat here with a group of people, all of a sudden, jewels started raining like rain out of the sky and falling on the ground. And I said to everybody, hurry, we got a window. Let's grab them. And we all ran out. We're grabbing these jewels, these diamonds and sapphires and rubies. And, I mean, we're filling our pockets and we're looking at each other. You got any more room? And we're just like crazy because they're falling. And I knew we had a moment.
Yeah.
A moment. And so we, sure enough, the jewels stopped. We got them all off the ground. We were stuffed everywhere. Like, yeah, you got some room in your ear here. We knew we had to have these jewels.
Yeah.
And then we all came back under here, and we started emptying our pockets, and it was bread.
Oh, wow.
It was bread.
Yeah.
Wow. Manna from heaven.
Yeah. Wow.
And then we look up, and we saw people coming starving.
Wow.
Yeah. Starving. Like they're going to die any minute starving. And we were so excited. Several people ran out and said, over here, over here. And others of us were getting the tables set up with the bread piled everywhere. And it was just multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. Hot, fresh bread that rained out of heaven.
Wow.
We're going to see that. We're going to see our food multiply. We're going to see provision from it. We already have. I mean, this place was built on provision from heaven and every stick that's out here. So that's not going to be new, but we're going to to see a level we have never seen before. And they're going to, I believe those people that are going to be coming that are starving to death represent the lost. Mm-hmm. That don't know the Lord and they're going to die without Him. And that bread on the table is His body. Yeah. Straight out of heaven. So we've, the timing of this building and and God, oh my, I was just undone sitting there tonight remembering that dream. The other part of it that I forgot about, in the dream, Mike Bickle walked up. And I said, and Diane, and I said, Mike, Diane, what are you doing here? Well, we heard there's jewels here. And as I pondered that and prayed about it, I felt like the Lord said, the house of prayer. They represent the house of prayer. They represent intercession. I think it's a call to us.
Yes.
That this place, I love it that the residents are meeting here to pray in the mornings at 6 o'clock every morning. Love that. So, this is an historic time in history. You don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want complacency or fear or self-centeredness or comfort or pleasure or following my own dream or doing my own thing, or I don't want to let anything keep me from this hour. When we watch God partner with us in ways that will astonish unbelievers and prodigals and us. And we see His power poured out. And we see signs and wonders and miracles. And we see jewels falling from the sky. That's what it's going to take. We can't prepare for what's coming. Not externally. But boy, we better prepare in here. We better make sure we're braced in here. You know that word, that dream. When was it? February, March, I forget. Or it wasn't a dream. It was a vision where I saw three waves. The first wave was the coronavirus. Hit about mid-calf. But it was devastating. I thought, how could a wave that small do so much damage? And I saw people swept out to the ocean. Was it December?
All the way back in December.
Wow.
Actually, it was right after the coronavirus started, like middle of March is when you had that. Towards the end of March.
And then I saw the second wave, and the Lord said, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself. Because the second wave was much higher and much bigger. And then I saw a third one behind it. Brace yourself in here. This is what matters. Is on the inside. If we're not in love with God to the degree that we die for Him, that these waves that are coming are going to sweep us off our feet. We got to brace ourselves and get rid of any idea that life's supposed to be easy. Get rid of any idea that we're not going to suffer. Get rid of any idea that we're going to have what we want or even what we need. And get to that place where truly the only thing that matters is God. And that His kingdom and His will being done is what my life's all about.
That's good. That's good.
And the prayer, the other part of that prayer that God's been highlighting, the Lord's Prayer, is deliver us from evil.
Yes, Lord.
Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Let it rain from heaven, God. Forgive us for our sins. And even as we forgive those who sin against us, deliver us from evil. And that is pretty much the only prayer I can pray anymore. I don't know how to pray. The disciples said to Yeshua, teach us how to pray. We don't know how to pray. And he said, here's how you pray. Our Father, Abba, come to him as a child. Let him be your daddy, who is as close as the air all around you, closer than the air you breathe. Recognize his holiness. Bow. Get on your face. Surrender your life and make your life about his kingdom and about his will being done. Forgive everybody, no matter what they've done to you, no matter how wrong it was, no matter how evil it was, no matter how many times they did it to you, forgive them. At an experience, an encounter years ago, back 1988-ish, when I was going through my own personal healing, and a lot of you have heard this one. But in that healing journey, God asked me to forgive my father for all the abuse and neglect and etc. And I said to God, God, I want to, but I can't. I just can't. And all of a sudden, I saw the cross. And I was surprised, truthfully, because the cross that I saw was so low that with me on my knees, I could have reached my hand up and touched his feet. It wasn't up there. It surprised me. And so I was like right up close and personal, and I look up and Yeshua's looking down right in my eyes. And he whispered my name. He said my name. And as he did, he turned and he looked beside me. His eyes looked over here, and I thought, So I turned and looked beside me. And there was my father. And I looked back up at Yeshua, and he said to me, at the foot of the cross, everyone looks the same.
Damn. Wow.
And my dad was not a godly man by any stretch of the word. And God asked me that day to give my father a gift that he didn't deserve and he could never earn. Because God had given me the same gift. A gift that I could never deserve and never earn. You know, us humans were kind of fickle. A little bit. We love the power that comes with deciding how long we're going to hold somebody responsible and how long we're going to make them suffer by keeping them at arm's length or shunning them or not loving them. Our propensity to sin is great. And we're generally not quick to forgive. Generally, we take our time and we process it and we think about it. And we often wait until the person apologizes or says they're sorry or changes or whatever. It's not our... Being quick to forgive is generally not our first choice, or our second or third often. And yet,
Yeshua forgave you before you were ever born. He's quick to forgive. He knew you in your mother's womb. And he knew everything about your life. And he still chose you to be his. And I've often, in my journey, thought about that in comparison to my yucky, human, hard heart. And I would have never chosen my father to be my father had I had a choice. But God chose me, knowing. And he chose you, knowing everything about your life. And we have an incredible privilege in the kingdom. You know how we've been studying about being God's imager, being made in his image. It means to image God. It means to present God to humanity. We have a privilege and a responsibility and an obligation as a believer to image God to everybody, even your enemies. Even the people who hurt you, abused you, abandoned you, neglected you. What a privilege. And it's a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to wait for some great big swell of emotion to sweep over you or some great big grace bomb to blow up in your lap. You can choose. That day in 1988, sitting on that bathroom floor, and God said, I want you to give your father a gift he doesn't deserve and he could never earn. I had a choice. I didn't feel it. I can't even say that I wanted to. I don't know if I did or not.
Yeah, right.
It didn't matter. It didn't matter. I saw the truth. And the truth was that at the foot of the cross, I wasn't any better than my father. And how could I withhold that kind of love that God had given me and shown me? And you have the same opportunity. And you don't have to wait for your healing to happen. I wasn't healed yet. You can choose to image God to the people who hurt you. And the amazing thing about it is you're the one that gets set free. You're the one that's going to benefit as well. And it'll cut that cord of that ungodly cord between you and that person, so that you can get on with your life, so that you can be free from what they did to you. And for some of you, the person that you're not forgiving is yourself. Don't go into this storm that's coming with this baggage on your back. It'll take you under. It It'll weigh you down. It'll slow you up. So, I wasn't planning on saying any of this tonight. Well, I guess God was. I want to offer you an opportunity to do what I got to do in 1988 and give somebody a gift that they don't deserve and they could never earn. Might be yourself. Might be somebody else. It might be both. So I'm going to ask you to be really bold and stand up. If you want to do that, and you want to forgive somebody. Father, here we are, your sons and daughters, the ones you love, the ones you forgave, when we didn't deserve it and we hadn't earned it. Lord, we bow our heads like that wheat and humble ourselves before you. God, first of all, we ask you to forgive us for our unforgiveness, for pointing our finger at somebody else or at ourselves, for holding a grudge, being offended, not imaging you and your infinite love and forgiveness. We acknowledge our human flesh, propensity to sin, God. And we bow before you and we ask you, Yeshua, the great high priest, we ask you right now to cover us with your precious blood that cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And we receive your forgiveness. We receive your cleansing. We receive your redemption, and we receive restoration. And we decree and declare today that because of your blood, we're free. We're free, God. And we serve notice now in the name of Yeshua to every demon that was empowered by our sins. And we serve you notice and command you to leave us, spirit, soul, and body. You leave our airspace and you leave this farm. You have no legal right to us any longer because of the blood of Yeshua that's cleansed us. And now, God, we bring before you. Go ahead and say the person or people's name to the Lord yourself, who you're bringing to Him. God, we bring these people before you who've hurt us and wounded us and done all manner of evil against us, controlled us, manipulated us, abused us, etc., 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 God. We bring them before you. And we ask you to have mercy on them. And we say, God, we release them to you. We give them the gift that you gave us, the gift of forgiveness. And we choose today to let them go. And we ask you, Yeshua, to apply your blood to every cord that is attached to us and attached to them. And we ask you to sever every ungodly, unholy connection now because of your precious blood.
Yes.
And we just release them to you, and we say, God, would you take this case on yourself? And we just say we have no case against them from here forward. We're all broken, weak human beings. And now we serve notice to every demon that's been empowered by our sins and their sins. And we serve you notice that you're trespassing. You have no legal right to harass, torment, kill, steal, or destroy in my life, our lives anymore. We serve you notice. You have to leave us and you have to leave them. And our relationship is covered in the blood of Yeshua.
Yes.
So leave spirit, soul, and body. Leave airspace. Leave this farm right now. In Yeshua's mighty name. And now, God, I ask you in the power of your Holy Spirit to rain down jewels from heaven. God, would you deposit jewels in every person standing right now? Fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit. And all the places in our hearts where we held offense or pain or unforgiveness or bitterness or anger or any negative emotion, God, we ask you right now, where it's been washed clean, now we ask you to fill it up with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with those beautiful jewels, the bread of life, and satisfy our hearts, God. Satisfy the ache and the longing and the sorrow, and heal us. Heal us, God. Let your rain fall down, God. Release your healing power. Holy Spirit, would you encounter every person right now? Come. Come, Holy Spirit. We need you, God. We don't need a prescription, and we don't need all the beeps that people use. We need you. We need you, God, right now, right here. Flood and fill us. Come as Abba. Come as Daddy. Come as Father. Holy, perfect, pure Father.
Water.